It started Wednesday night. I read verses Hebrews chapter 12, 28 and 29. And Joel is about to read that. I just want you to hear it, and then I'll share with you why we're doing what we're doing now. Go ahead, brother.
Hebrews 28 through 29. Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And thus, let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe.
Okay, did y'all hear that? With what? Reverence and awe. Okay. Thank you. Well, no. I stopped you there. Go ahead and finish reading it. I'm sorry. Reverence and awe. Verse 29. It's right there.
For our God is a consuming fire.
Say that one more time.
For our God is a consuming fire.
Everybody with me? Why? Because our God is a consuming fire. Thank you, brother. And at that very moment, Miss Billy asked me a question, and she said, you know, that's how I pray as I get up, that I pray God would take my sins and would consume them because he is a consuming fire. And she said, am I praying that right? And I said, yeah, I think that that's definitely part of that, but there's so much more to it. And that's what I want us to really just focus on, these two verses. Now, next week we'll go 18 through 27. And I don't want to skip anything because it's important, because our God's kingdom, another good thing about that is what our God's kingdom can never be shaken. You and I can be shaken. It happens all around us, but thank goodness I have a God who lives in me that cannot be shaken. And that no matter what is going on around me, he's still in control. He still is sovereign. And that is hard to grasp at sometimes, isn't it? But I want us today, as we prepare our hearts, as we get ready to partake of the Lord's Supper, and we're going to do it towards the end, I want us to take a moment of just prayer, and then I'm going to share with you what this thing called God being a consuming fire, I believe that he has laid on my heart, and that I have looked and searched in the scriptures. I believe we can cover this. And then we will worship some more as we open the altar for you to prepare your heart to partake of the Lord's Supper. And I know God wants to move, because the enemy doesn't want this to happen today. He doesn't. But I think this could be a defining moment, not only for us as individuals, but as a church as well. So let me pray, and then I want to share with you this understanding of a consuming fire. Let's pray. Father, we just lay our hearts down at the altar right now. God, I know that in our minds, we can't even grasp how awesome, how wonderful, how merciful, how loving, but also how much justice you have. And I am so thankful that you have given us this time that we can come and just simply focus on this understanding of you throughout the scripture, using this consuming fire to describe who you are. Help us grasp a little of it. These things we ask in your name. Amen. All right, if you take your notes out and look at devotion. As we continue this devotion of sermon series, God is an all-consuming fire. The very first thing I want to point out is God's all-consuming fire, what represents his holiness and his what? Judgment. And I want you to know, fire is a wonderful thing if we keep it within the bounds that it's supposed to be in. Are you with me? It provides so much for us, but if it gets out of bounds, its judgment is fierce. And I believe that is where God is as well, that his rules and his regulations, his principles, his standard, and what he has set is a wonderful thing and gives us not only life, but life what? More abundantly. But when we get outside of his will, when we get outside of his principles, when we get outside of what he wants, it is an all-consuming fire, is it not? And so we have to be so careful. Let me just bring up a scripture here, Deuteronomy 4:24. We're going to look at Deuteronomy 4:24, and they're going to be hanging with us. We're going to try to put them up on the board because we got a lot of scriptures to go through. Look at this. For the Lord your God is a consuming fire, a what? A jealous God, and it's Deuteronomy 4:24. So you and I, we've seen this word jealousy as something that, I mean, even Oprah Winfrey has quoted that she couldn't get past this verse and why she doesn't worship God. And I can quote that because that's what she said. And the reason that God is jealous is he is God. He's not going to share his worship with anybody. There is nothing else out there that even compares or come close. And unfortunately, you and I continue to trade things in place of God. Now you go, well, I don't worship. Anything we put in the place of God, anything that has more importance, anything that our desire becomes more than it does for God, that's something we call idolatry. And we still have that today. And I have to really examine my heart as well. And I do. I think that's a daily examination. You know, I don't know about you, but I can think, even remember when you first got a car, it didn't have to be used, and you were so excited, but within 3 weeks you already wanted something better. And so we have to be so careful of that. You see, this emphasis, his intolerance of idolatry and moral compromise among his people, he doesn't tolerate it. And we kind of talked about that last week through his discipline and him being our father, and because he's our father. Remember the illustration that I used, that my dad set me behind him and I went, well, look, all the other kids are playing around. My dad would go, well, if they were my children, they'd be sitting down. Once again, you see throughout biblical, not only biblical, but even just historical, how God has disciplined his people because he loves them. And he wants them to worship him. And so this is an all-consuming fire of his holiness. You see, holiness demands moral perfection. And we can only find that through Christ. And he loved us so much that is why he did what he did. I heard an illustration this week I want to share with you. There was this king, and matter of fact, he was a great king. He was a loving king. He was a king of justice. But somebody was stealing out of his gold, his surplus of gold. And he put in there, whoever's doing that's going to get 20 lashes. And they never found out, and time went by, and finally he said, whoever we find out that does this is going to get 50 lashes. And when he said that, that was a death sentence, because no one could survive 50 slashes. Unfortunately, when the day came, they found who it was, and it was his daughter who was taking it. And everybody wondered, well, this is a great king. What is he going to do? I mean, the law has been broken. There has to be penalty for the law. There has to be. And it came down and she was found guilty. And they took her, they threw her on the table, and they slashed her shirt open. And as the judgment man, or whatever he's called, the executioner, started to come down, the king said, wait! And they said, they just couldn't believe it. They thought, well, he's going to stop it. And instead, he ripped his shirt off. He climbed on the table and he wrapped his arms around his daughter and he said, "Begin." And he died in place for his daughter. It's what Jesus did for you and for me. And so, penalty has to be paid. And God is holy. Because he's holy, penalty has to be paid. And so God's all-consuming fire, his wrath, and who he was, Jesus took his full brunt so that you and I did not have to. So that when the slashes came down, it came down on his back, not ours. See, this fire also represents his ultimate judgment that will consume for eternity. Let's look at Revelation. I know it says 10 on there. I must have 20. 10 through 15. Now, these are not popular verses. People don't like these. Revelation 20. And this is, of course, God's consuming fire. This is the ultimate punishment. This is when the judgment will happen, and those whose name is not in the Lamb's Book of Life, his consuming fire will judge. And the devil who had deceived them was what? Thrown into the lake of fire and sulfur, where the beast and the false prophet were, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Satan is not going to rule hell. And where we got that message, how that came about, he will spend eternity in hell as well. He's not going to be ruling hell. And then I saw a great white throne, and him who was seated on it. From his presence, earth and sky fled away. No place was found for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and the books were opened. Notice it says what? Books. All right, let's look. Then another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged by what was written in the books according to what they had done. And the sea gave up to the dead who were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one of them according to what they had done. Look at 14. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. Okay, 15. And if anyone's name, here it is, don't miss this. If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire, that consuming fire. These are all those who have not accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. But Jesus, God loved us so much that he provided Jesus so that you and I did not have to go through this. And our name is in the book of life. And what's amazing, it's hard to wrap our mind on this, but your name's already there. It was put even before the beginning of time. Once again, we can get into that. Is God sovereign? Yes. Does God give us a free will? Yes. Now, how does that come together? I don't know. That's beyond my pay. But I am thankful that I have a God that I can't describe fully. Aren't you? All right. I want us to look at, if you would, Hebrews 12, 28, 29. You're going to put that back up here. And I just want to say this. This affirms that God of the Old Testament still commands holiness in the New Testament. That we now come to him through the atoning work of who? Of Christ. Now, if that does not stir your heart to reverence and awe, then one needs to examine their heart. Every time we walk through those doors, we are coming in reverence and in awe. When you go at home and you're praying before him, you're praying in reverence and all, that an almighty God that created everything would think of me, would communicate with me. And we're going to get into 18 through 27. It just talks about the ability once again for you and I to go before the throne, even though he is an all-consuming fire. Let's go to point two. God's all-consuming fire represents his refiner's fire and purification. Amen? He is continually working in your life and my life to make us be the people he's called us to be. And once again, I'm not going to get, just let me review just real quick. First of all, you have what this fancy word called justification. That's when you've accepted Christ and now you stand in holiness because of the blood of Christ, justification. Then after you have justification, you have this thing called sanctification, okay? And this is his all-consuming fire that continues to work in us and through us, sanctifying us to the day that we then have glorification. Laying a little theology on you right there, okay? But this understanding of him purifying us, him working in our lives, the Holy Spirit moving in and through us. Let's look at Malachi 3:2-3. But who can endure the day of his coming and who can stand when he appears? I don't think any of us will, but it'll be a wonderful thing. For he is like a refiner's fire and like a fuller's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he will purify the sons of Levi and refine them like gold and silver, and they will bring offerings in righteousness to the Lord. The scripture shows us his all-consuming fire is like a refiner. It's almost too that like a molder, like a potter, a person who's a potter who is molding us and shaping us. But it takes that gentle touch. So his consuming fire is judgment, but it's also a refiner's touch, right? And sometimes the touch is not just gentle. It can be a little rough as well. And he's burning with what does not look like him out of us. You see, this imagery in his word shows God's purpose to cleanse his people. And that's why we come here. That's why you go to Sunday school. That's why we need each other. That's why we remember who and what he did for us. Because he's refining us. He is sanctifying us. See, God's fiery holiness strips away what is unholy, preserving what is redeemed and noble in each of us. You see, believers therefore stand in awe and reverence as they draw in knowing that God's consuming fire sanctifies, transforming hearts and confronting individuals to his holiness rather than merely consuming them in his judgment. I should get an amen on that. That is powerful right there. And so God is an all-consuming fire, represents holiness and judgment. It represents refiner's fire and purification. And next, God's all-consuming fire represents his presence and direction in our lives. Does he not give you direction? Does he not give you purpose? Does he not give you light in the darkest of times? Does he not give you hope from his flame? And he does that through his word. He does that through his spirit. He does that through you and me. He does that in many different ways. But his light, his consuming fire, repels the darkness. And the enemy can't even get near the flame. Matter of fact, it says in the word that he has to what? Flee. It says that he has to flee from that consuming fire. Let's look at Deuteronomy 31:6-8. Deuteronomy 31:6-8. Be strong and courageous. That's a good word, isn't it? Be strong and courageous. We all need that at times. Do not fear or be in dread of them, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or what? Forsake you. When Moses summoned Joshua and said to him in the sight of all of Israel, he said, be strong and courageous, for you shall go with this people into the land that the Lord has sworn their fathers to give them, and you shall put them in the possession of it. It is the Lord who what? Goes before you. It is his consuming fire that leads our way. It is his consuming fire that goes before his children. Let that bring you hope. And later, look at Hebrews 13:5. Beautiful passage. Hebrews 13:5. I'm trying to give you old and new here. Hebrews 13:5. And this is, once again, this is a beautiful, beautiful verse. He will be, okay. 13:5. Keep your life free from love of money and be content with what you have. For he said, I will never what? Leave you nor what? Forsake you. So his consuming fire disperses the darkness and gives each of us a clear passage. Now, it might get a little muddled now and then, but it's still clear. If we follow his word, his promises are real. He never takes those promises. It is never changing, is it not? The Spirit doesn't leave you nor forsake you. The Spirit stays there. Matter of fact, it talks to you. It gives that inner still voice. His word is living and breathing. His fire is all around us. Even on the times that we don't feel it or see it, it is still there according to these words. This is through the work of the Holy Spirit and his word in each of our lives. All right, last point. Last point here. God's all-consuming fire represents his power over all creation. That dwells in you and me. 2 Chronicles 26. And he said, O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? You rule over all, partial, little, all the kingdoms of the nation. In your hand are the power and might, so that none is able to what? Withstand you. Let's look at Hebrews 1:1-4. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these days, he has spoken to us by what? By his Son, who he is appointed the heir of all things. Just, what is that again? All. Through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God, that consuming fire, and the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe. What? He upholds what? The universe by the word of his what? Power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Well, just so you know, I'm not making this up. I absolutely love this one. Romans 1:18-23, that which, once again, you've seen this, you know this is very powerful. It says this, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all what? Ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them. God has shown it to them. And this is talking about all people, right? For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world. And these things that have been made, so they are without what? Excuse. How come we have missionaries that go to islands that nobody's ever been there and they know about Christ? How does that happen? Now, yes, it's God. God makes himself known to everyone. Why? Because he is over all things. I mean, the very fact that there's a universe should make us, I don't know about you, I'll never forget that first time I crested that hill. And then, I mean, because you're going up a hill, you can't see the Grand Canyon. And then all of a sudden, boom, pff, there it is. And he just, pff, there it was. Well, I'm sure he used the river and all that, but I'm just saying, he spoke to the universe. I mean, where does the universe stop? God, in his power, is so infinite. You see, the beginning of all wisdom is the fear of what? Of the Lord. That consuming fire. You see, God's power through his all-consuming fire will make all bow in his reverence, and all will bow in awe of the power of Christ. And we know that in Philippians 2, 10 through 11, do we not? For every knee will bow, and every what? Tongue will what? That he is what? That he is Lord. So may not a single moment of my life be spent outside the consuming fire. His love and his joy of your presence, God, and not a moment without the entire surrender of myself as a vessel for you in fulfillment of what you're doing through the Holy Spirit in my life. I just want to remind us, and I put this as the first illustration here, is a holy life makes the deepest impression. You see, a lighthouse does not blow a horn. It just shines a light. And if his consuming fire is in you and me, then that will truly be evident all around us.